Chapter 51. Later that night, Ron was unable to quiet his mind. He had the urge to call several people, but he already knew what they would say. When Ron had decided a few years ago not to continue teaching in college, his one-time professor and mentor had been more than a little disappointed in him. Warren Lashley had turned down several promotion offers, both at his college and in other places. He was exploring teaching and literature and writing. He saw these other opportunities as distractions that would get in the way of what he wanted to do. He told Ron back then, "I no longer have a clue about what you're trying to accomplish." Ron knew what he meant, but his life was different now. He had found ways to express his creativity that Warren had found natural, and he had passed that approach on to Ron. He had asked Ron to come down and teach nights at the college, and Ron had done it. Lashley even gave him his office to share. The reports he had gotten back on Ron's teaching made him proud that Ron was his student. Why had he not chosen college teaching more fully? Was a mistake of Ron's that Lashley could not understand. There was no sense in asking his advice. Quimpy had gone round the bend. He was forced into early retirement for a number of reasons. When last Ron saw him, his skin was perpetually covered in nervous rashes that he picked at endlessly. He was eternally distracted now. He told Ron that he had stolen Celeste from him and that he wanted them to be friends who just didn't talk to each other anymore. Ron knew what Quimpy would have said in earlier time. "Take the fucking money, that's a no-brainer. Haven't you paid attention at all?" There was something to be said for that point of view, and that was exactly what he would have said. His Aunt Dottie would have taken Quimpy's point of view. Adele Becker would have asked if he investigated the stability of the administrative team at Middle Hills. He had. People did not leave there. They retired from there. She would have asked him if he wanted to be a principal. That was the real question, wasn't it? Muriel Browser was out of there in 2 more years. He would be the natural successor. Ron thought about that. He did love Mountain Oak, but it was not the first school that he had loved. He did think it would be the last. He could lead them. He knew every aspect of the building and had a relationship with the Board of Education members because he had taught their kids. He was thought of as an excellent teacher. Adele had promised him that he could make his office his classroom, and Ron felt surely that he had failed to do that. Angel was more than a little right. He had become a narc. Calling Chris would be good for a laugh, but he did not think there would be any insight there. He wondered for a second when it was that he stopped looking for insight from Chris. Then he stopped himself. There was no time to think about Chris now. He and Celeste had talked for about 2 hours. She assured him that whatever he wanted to do, that she would be there with him. She told him that she knew that his dream was to be the principal of Mountain Oak. Ron called Marjorie. "Hi, Mom. How are you doing?" "Ronald?" exclaimed Marjorie. "Is it a holiday? Did someone die?" Ron laughed softly into the phone. "No, Mom. How are you?" "You're calling to actually say that you care how I am? Or is this call for some other reason?" Marjorie was not backing down. She was pissed. He called her maybe once a month, maybe not for 3 months at a time. "I'm just calling, Mother." "Do you remember when the last time was that you called?" "Mom, I think you know me pretty well, don't you?"
"Better than you know yourself, Ronald." Marjorie said the words with anger and love. "You're doing what you were doing, and there's no time for anything else. It does not matter what I need or what anyone else needs. You're doing what you want."
That hurt. Ron felt himself wince. "I guess you're right, Mom."
"Celeste says that you are losing weight," said Marjorie.
"Yeah, I'll eat more when I can get outside and do more," said Ron hopefully.
"You know what happens when you don't eat. You run yourself down and get sick," scolded Marjorie.
"How are you feeling?" said Ron.
"I've told Celeste everything, and I don't want to repeat it," said Marjorie, making 2 points. She knew that Celeste kept him aware of her health so that he did not have to do it. He had already scolded her once for talking about nothing but her health since she retired. She was going to be damned if she would answer that question from her never-around son.
"I have the offer of a new job," said Ron. Marjorie was interested. Celeste had mentioned an interview, but not that he had the job.
"Is it more money?"
"Lots more," said Ron. "But I would no longer have job security for another few years."
"You can't worry about that. You're a worker, like your father and me.
You'll be a success anywhere you go," said Marjorie with conviction.
"I do love the place where I am now," said Ron.
"Does it love you?"
"You know, Ronald, you have a bad habit of loving places and people that don't want you around," said Marjorie.
Ron laughed to himself this time. She was really good.
"They made it possible for me to be Dr. Tuck," said Ron.
"Adele Becker made it possible for you to be Dr. Tuck. But it was you that did it."
Marjorie's voice grew quiet.
"I think that you get confused about what you should do because the person who always loved you and helped you is no longer there in your life. If you would only open your heart up to Jesus like you did when you were a boy."
"I can't do that, Mom."
"I don't believe that.
You can do anything. You just don't want to do it for whatever your reasons are."
"I'm going to take the job, Mom."